If you would please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'm going to read verses 17 through 25. This is my text. Please put a bookmark here. We'll be back. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. 1 Peter, first chapter, verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For, quote, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. End of quote. And this is the word which was preached to you. Let's pray. Father, the basis of Peter's argument here is that we should be holy, we should live holy, we should live as one who actually has put their trust in the Father because of the price that was paid that allows us a relationship with the Father. We can call him Father. We can put our faith in him. We can put our hope in him because of the price that was paid. It's a price that cannot be measured in precious metals, in money, in buildings, in fame. It cannot be purchased, but it has already been purchased by the precious blood of Christ. So Lord, this morning, help us as we contemplate the price that has been paid for our salvation. Amen. One of the accusations leveled against the early church was cannibalism. Who could tell me why they might think the early church practiced cannibalism? Because we ate the body and drank the blood of Christ. And as the Roman Empire tried to spread disinformation and first century fake news to dissuade people of even attending a gathering of Christians, they leveled that you can't go there. They eat flesh and drink blood. Well, this morning we're going to eat the body and drink the blood of Christ. Now, we believe it's in remembrance of Christ. And obviously, we use unleavened bread, which, by the way, are crackers. And we use, because I'm, a Baptist, we use Welch's wine. So we use grape juice. It's not really the cracker or the juice that matters, of course. It's the fact that we are together remembering the sacrifice of Jesus. What is so important that it is mentioned in the New Testament five times more than the death of Christ, and three times more than the cross of Christ? And that is actually the blood of Christ. Every major event that happens spiritually in a believer's life is because of the blood of Christ. Now, I want to hasten to add, I'm not separating the blood from the death. Okay? The reason it's referred to so often as blood is because of the type of death. It was a bloody death on the cross. It was a sacrificial death on the cross. So cross, blood, death are all reference to the same event. That is the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross, in which his blood was poured out as a lamb on the altar. Now, I'm not going to look at this whole passage here. I'm only going to focus on the beginning mostly, but I will point out to you that in this passage, there is a contrast that runs throughout it. Verses 18 and 19 contrast the perishable with the precious. The perishable with the precious. Verse 18, knowing that you're not redeemed with perishable things, like silver or gold, from the futile life inherited from your forefathers. In other words, from your sin, okay, which was passed down to us from our parents and to them from their parents. We are not saved from our sin. We're not redeemed from our sin with perishable things. Now, the irony here is we think of silver and gold as being non-perishable. But when the end of the world comes and a new heaven and a new earth is brought about, the elements will melt. Those things that the world considers to be most precious will dissipate. But what will be eternal is, verse 19, the precious blood of Christ. So we have what is perishable versus what is precious. Now again, that defies common sense. We would think that gold is precious. We would think that silver is precious. But according to the Bible, no, it's not. The blood of Christ is precious. It also contrasts the temporary versus the permanent. Verse 24, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, quoting from the book of Isaiah. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So you have temporary versus permanent. The earth, the grass, the flowers, the glory, they all wilt. They all die. But the word of God will last forever. It's permanent. This world is temporary. So this morning, as you see, my title is, Why Do We Sing About the Blood? I would imagine in a post-Christian America, in a secular society as ours, fewer and fewer people would have any idea why Christians sing about blood. They would have no concept of why we would actually say, this is the blood which was shed for you, drink it in remembrance of me. They would not understand that at all. But yet we come and we sing about it. We sing about the blood. Why do we sing about the blood? Well, you should sing about the blood of Christ because it is so exceptional. It's exceptional. Verse 19. But with precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. It's exceptional because of whose it is. It is the blood of God the Son. Acts 20:28. To shepherd the church of God, that's us, which he purchased with his own blood. It's the blood of God the Son. It's the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. Everything about him was exceptional. Verse 20, for he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you. He who was eternal entered into the temporal. He who was eternal entered into our time-space continuum. Why would God leave his throne? Why would God leave eternity and step into time? For you. for the church, which is purchased with his blood. Everything about his life was exceptional. His birth, he was born of a virgin. His life, he was sinless. His death was not deserved, and God rose him, resurrected him from the dead. We sing about the blood of Christ because it is exceptional, because of whose it is. It's exceptional, exceptional because of what it is. Again, verse 19, with the precious blood as a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. It is the blood of the lamb. It is the visible evidence of the sacrifice that God was willing to make for us. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It is not perishable. It is of eternal value. It is how we have our sins forgiven. Again, verse 17, everybody will stand before God the Father and answer for their conduct. However, we have someone who answers for us. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his sacrifice. It's the blood that he shed. It's exceptional because of where it is. Verse 21, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. Christ is seated in glory with his Father. And again, why? So that your faith and your hope are in God. We don't have to fear God as our judge. He judged our sins on the cross when Jesus shed his blood. Hebrews 9:11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, which was not made by hands. That is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of heifers sprinkling those who had been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. What is the author of Hebrews talking about? Well, for centuries, the Jewish nation found temporary forgiveness by sacrificing bulls and goats and heifers and sheep and turtle doves. They couldn't afford a sheep, a lamb. But that had to be repeated every year until Christ entered. And his blood is applied in heaven once for all. And now we have peace with God, and we can enter into God's presence because Christ went before us. So it's exceptional because of whose it is, because of what it is, because of where it is. You should sing about the blood of Christ because it is so effectual. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It works. Verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. What in the world can take away our sin? What can restore our relationship with God, the Father? The blood of Christ. Notice the word redeemed. We're redeemed, but not with gold and silver. You can't buy your way. We were redeemed, verse 19, with the precious blood as the lamb. Again, when John the Baptist saw Jesus walking towards him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Christ is that lamb that was pointed to in the Old Testament. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, in other words, resurrection, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his what? By his blood. It works. It's effectual. For 2,000 years, Christian people have found their sins can be forgiven through the sacrifice, the bloody sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. But 1 John tells us that not only can it wash away your sin, it has the power to restore the broken relationship between you and God. You know, in other words, God could just have forgiven you and then left you by the roadside. But he forgives you and then has a relationship with you. We sing about the blood of Christ because it's so effectual. We sing about the blood of Christ because it's so exceptional. And lastly, we sing about the blood of Christ because it is so essential. Essential. It's essential to get us out of our bondage. Again, verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold, notice this, from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. It's futile. You cannot do anything about your sin problem except turn to the blood of Christ. We are in bondage to sin. I realize that many theological discussion has been launched by this, but you're not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you're a sinner. That's what we inherited from our forefathers. What can get us out of that? What can break that cycle? What can break that chain? It's the blood of Christ. The blood has been the scarlet thread that runs through the pages of the Bible. I mean, we see it in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. They realized they were naked. They needed a covering. And God killed an animal and shed the blood of an animal to cover their sin, to cover their shame, to cover their nakedness. We see it in Cain and Abel. God had told them, I want a blood sacrifice, which Abel did, and Cain did not. And then Cain shed Abel's blood. We see it with Abraham and Isaac. God said to Abraham, take thy son, thy only son Isaac, and bring him to the mountain, and there you shall sacrifice him. And Abraham, in the midst of his doubts, obeyed God. And as you know, at the last minute, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham had told Isaac, God himself will provide you a lamb. And sure enough, that ram caught in the thicket became the blood sacrifice for Isaac. The tabernacle, the temple. We cannot imagine how much blood was shed in the Old Testament between the sacrifices, daily sacrifices, yearly sacrifices, atonement. And then the Passover. The Passover. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's essential. It's essential to get us out of our bondage. The children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And God said, I have a plan. Sacrifice the lamb. Put the blood on your doorpost. And when the death angel comes through, I will pass over you. It's essential to get us into our blessing. Verse 21. Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We share in the glory. We have blessing. As I mentioned, God could have just saved us and then let us alone, but He adopted us into His family. Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of trespasses. That's one half. According to the riches of His grace, that's the second half. We don't just get out of bondage to sin. We get into the blessing of being children of God. The difference between having your sins forgiven, or as we might say, being saved, and not forgiven, or remaining lost, is the precious blood of Jesus.